This meeting is now being recorded.
Hey folks, welcome to plenary call 58 of the CCT review team. I heard, Drew is in the Adobe Connect now. Is there anybody else that's on the phone but not in the Adobe Connect? All right, and is there anyone with an updated statement of interest? Excellent. Let's jump right in and let Drew present his near final DNS abuse paper. Take it away, Drew.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I was not able to make yesterday's sub-team call, but from what I understand, it sounds like as a sub-team, we have updated language for version 3. Laptop connected to the Adobe room, so I'm not able to see the link. Has that, Laureen could probably chime in to speak as to whether that language has been sent. Okay.
Yes, I believe that that this language was sent around yesterday after our call so that folks could see it. For recommendation 3, it was a fairly minor change. I'm getting to it. I think, does everyone have independent scrolling?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, perfect.
And the recommendation 3 is on page 11.
Yes, great. So if everyone scrolls to page 11, towards the bottom of the page, which is where recommendation 3 starts, you will see the revised language in blue. And these are two changes, the first of which, this recommendation to orient folks, is to further study the relationship between specific registry operators, registrars, and DNS abuse by commissioning ongoing data collection. And here is the new language. We've included a reference, including but not limited to ICANN Domain Abuse Activity DAR initiative, because that actually is an existing activity, and one of the ICANN organization's comments to us in the public comments is to see where existing initiatives can actually align with our recommendations, and that one is spot on. So we added that reference. So further study the relationship between specific registry operators, registrars, and DNS abuse by commissioning ongoing data collection, including but not limited to ICANN Domain Abuse Activity Reporting Initiative. Regularly published in order to be able to identify registries and registrars that need to come under greater scrutiny by ICANN compliance. The original recommendation, there was no subject for this greater compliance scrutiny, but clearly the division group that is being discussed here is the ICANN compliance group. So we thought greater clarity could be added by making that more specific. So that is the change to recommendation 3. There's also another change in the two part, i.e. who is this directed to. We also added a reference to the SSRT review team because that is getting started, and DNS abuse would seem to fall squarely within its remit. So those are the changes, just to orient folks. So I'll pass the baton back to Drew, but I did want to clarify what those changes were and why.
Thanks, Laurie. And I apologize in advance if I have a lot of background noise for my connection. So I guess for today's call, what we should do is, first of all, clarify that there is consensus on the body of the DNS abuse chapter, as well as reaffirming what I believe we confirmed last week that we have consensus on recommendations 1 and 2. And with that said, Jamie sent me some great language I have not been able to incorporate yet, but basically Jamie has provided me with language to better direct recommendations 1 and 2, but not change the substance of what they are recommending, but instead change the wording and how we're what we're directing the Kanban board with regard to the process. So that's something that I will try to update tonight or tomorrow. But yeah, so with this call, then I'd like to volunteer achieving consensus other on recommendations 3 and
hey, Drew, we seem to have lost you. You're dropping in and out. Can you hear us?
What was that? Yes.
Okay, it seems we lost the last 2 minutes. Could you start again, please? Sorry.
Sorry. I was just going to say the main thing we should try to achieve in this call is first confirming that we have consensus on the body of the text for the DNS chapter, as well as recommendations 1 and 2. I will minor language update for page 1 and 2, and that will not affect the substance, but will change the word directed to the ICANN board. Jamie has sent me certification to ensure that we're completely accurate with the process and how the recommendations are considered. So I say that, but I just wanted to ask, is there anyone who disagrees that have consent the body of the text and recommendations 1 and 2? And I can't see. So Jean-Baptiste, if you wouldn't mind in my eyes. Has Weasler had to disagree with that notion?
Drew, there is no reaction right now in the Adobe room. Can you ask your question again to make sure everyone has heard? Because we have a few people who cannot hear you properly. Can you hear me? True?
I believe he asked, should we figure out whether or not we have consensus on the language for recommendations 1 and 2, was his first question.
That's right, and I think he asked explicitly if there was any disagreement. I'm not seeing any
right.
Disagreement, and I actually think we had achieved consensus on 1 and 2 and in our prior plenary. It was more 3 and 4.
I think that's right.
So I'm not seeing any disagreement. Looks like we have typing.
Including from Drew. So.
Right, right. So I'm wondering then if it would make sense to move on. We're only seeing consensus and agreement in the chat. So I'm wondering if it would make sense to move on to discussion of recommendations 3, which has changed, I think, in a fairly minor way. I'm trying to, Kylie, I see your hand is up.
Thanks a lot. Regarding recommendation 3, a lot sentence, now raise registries and registrars that need to come under greater scrutiny by ICAC compliance. I would like to change the phrase greater scrutiny. Then it will read, registries and registrars that need to be paid special attention by ICAC compliance.
Need to
be paid special attention by ICANN compliance.
I'm wondering if we can get more specific, because I think what you're pointing to is perhaps a vagueness in the language, greater scrutiny, but I'm thinking special attention might also perhaps not be as specific as we want to be, because I'm not sure I know what special attention means. And I'm wondering if Drew has any thoughts on perhaps greater clarity for this phrase. Carlton is
Hello.
Typing. Drew, I'm wondering if you're able to type any feedback here. And Calvin, I see your hand is up while I'm waiting for some responses. Drew, I'm going to repeat what Kylie said so that you hear the issue. I think Kylie was identifying a concern with the phrase greater scrutiny and perhaps a lack of precision there. Kylie had recommended as an alternative special attention. I'm concerned that suffers from the same lack of clarity, but I take Kylie's point that maybe we want to be more precise with our language there. I see that Carlton is responding in the chat, greater scrutiny is optimal language, being ICANN compliance already has the mandate and the means to be looking at these activities. I'm filling in, Carlton. What that language says is step it up. I do agree with that. Drew, that's the issue. So any responses you can put in the chat, that would be great. Calvin, I see your hand is up.
Okay, mine's just one of making it a little bit more understandable, and I would put a full stop after abuse activity reporting initiatives. So put a full stop and then say this should be regularly published in order mm-hmm. to identify registries. I just think it reads
yeah.
a little bit better.
I think you're right, Calvin. I think it's a long sentence and that breaks it up. Jean-Baptiste, is it possible for you to be holding the pen on this so this gets so this gets executed? Do you need that to be repeated, Jean-Baptiste?
Yes, Lorraine, and if you wish, we can do the same as yesterday, if that's easier.
Yeah, I think
just
that I think that would work better, Jean-Baptiste, since this is still...
Okay, just give me a minute and I'll do that.
Sure. In the meanwhile, Kylie, I see you want to respond. Go ahead. I'm having trouble hearing you, Kylie.
Yeah, thank you. I fully agree with how critical scrutiny is exactly what I mean. So, no disagreement on that. My only concern is that all recommendations, as I understand, needs to be passed by the board, accepted by the board. And considering the board's composition, what we mean by special attention is just exactly superior scrutiny. But I don't want to insist on that, and greater scrutiny is fine for me.
Okay. So thank you, Kylie. So. Kylie is comfortable with greater scrutiny. I think persuaded by Carlton's discussion in the chat. So good. Other comments and questions on recommendation 3? Okay. Kylie, I'm assuming that's an old hand, that you just haven't put your hand down. Okay. So, so I think then we are ready to, okay, we're ready to edit based on Calvin's input to make this long sentence a little more readable by putting a period after including, but actually, and let me add a comma also, including but not limited to, comma, let's add a comma there. ICANN Domain Abuse Activity Reporting Initiative. And then period would come after there, initiative. I think it should be a period there, Jean-Baptiste, instead of a comma after initiative. Period. Initiative, period, and then we're going to start a new sentence. So it's going to be ICANN Domain Abuse Activity Reporting, DAR Initiative, period. This information should be regularly published.
Sorry, Lorraine, I seem to have lost you.
Can you hear me now, this information? Should be. And then I think we're okay. Okay. So that's the proposed change. And I see Cao is having reception problems again. That's too bad. That is the That is recommendation three, which I would like to pull the group for consensus on. So what I'll ask people to do is indicate their disagreement. If anyone disagrees with this recommendation three, please note it in the chat by indicating a disagree, or in the chat or in the Adobe room, whichever way you would like. But my sense is that people are in favor of this, so I'm trying to suss out if anyone has any disagreement. Are there any disagreements with this recommendation as it's phrased?
Oh.
Kylie, I see your hand is up.
It's very minor. I just believe the comma hurts the phrase, but not limited to the comma.
I'm sorry, Kylie. There's a comma after limited to. I didn't hear what your suggestion was.
My suggestion, my feeling is that the comma should be taken after, but not limited to. It could be that. No problem.
Okay. Anyone else with comments or questions? Okay, I'm not seeing any disagreement on recommendation three. So I think we can add consensus reached on recommendation
three. Question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wado.
A question on the rewarding.
Right in there. Go ahead.
This last sentence, it reads, this information should be regularly published in order to be able to identify registries and records that need to come under greater scrutiny. I'm wondering, what's the link between publication and greater scrutiny by ICANN compliance? What I mean is that, in my mind, probably publishing it might have another purpose apart from giving ICANN compliance the ability to scrutinize it. Is there a link between publishing and ICANN compliance ability to scrutinize?
Drew, do you
Hello?
Want to respond to I hear you, Wado.
Hello?
I'm not going to ask Drew to respond to your question.
Yeah. Drew, maybe I can make it a bit simpler. What's the purpose of publishing? Can you answer that? What's the purpose of publishing this information?
Oh, you know what? I'm not even seeing Drew. I think Drew's working on his connection. I'm going to channel Drew.
Is he online?
I think we've lost Drew. That's unfortunate. I think the reasoning behind publishing is for transparency, both to the community. And Calvin's echoing exactly what I'm saying. Is to give
exactly
transparency, hopefully would have the dual purpose of not only community, but would also provide the information to ICANN compliance so it can discharge its appropriate functions. and Carlton is...
No, with that explanation, I think I would suggest that then you just... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Hello?
I can hear you, Wado.
Loreen?
Yes.
Loreen?
Yes.
Yeah, the explanation you've given is very good. Eh? What I would suggest is that you have two separate sentences. There should be a sentence that is indicating why the information should be published, which is for greater transparency, etc. Then there should be another sentence that now says that ICANN compliance should put greater scrutiny on those registrars and registries that are identified. So I think you should have two separate sentences. This sentence as it is not really explicit that the purpose of publishing is for transparency, etc. In fact, it gives the information, the reason is in order, just in order to be able to identify registries that need to come under greater scrutiny. But I think you need to indicate there that it should be regularly published to improve or increase the transparency of.
Okay. Oh goodness, we still don't have Drew. I'm wondering if it would, and Carl.
Okay, I'll try to send something in the chat. Eh?
That would be good. I'm wondering, this information should be regularly published, or to be able to identify registrars. I'm a little bit loath, like Carlton, to make this too long and involved, but what about if we just add a reference to transparency? This information should be regularly further studies of relation. I'm just thinking aloud here, so give me a moment.
I tried to send something just like what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I like Calvin's suggestion here. And also I'm going to read aloud Drew's message to post. For recommendation 3, Drew is recommending maintaining increased scrutiny but also at high priority. So it would be increased scrutiny and high priority by ICANN compliance. And then Calvin's suggestion is, which Carlton can handle, which is good, would be to add the clause for greater, for transparency purposes So let me suggest this then. Jean-Baptiste, for the sentence starting this information, can we add the phrase for transparency purposes, and just add that to the big note? I'm sorry, Jean-Baptiste. I'm not being clear enough. The for transparency purposes should be at the beginning of the sentence, so it should be for transparency purposes, comma, this information, okay. And then we're going to go to the end of the sentence, regularly published in order to identify registries and registrars. that need to come under greater scrutiny and higher priority by ICANN compliance? Okay, so that is that's the suggestion. Wado, I don't know if that's a new hand or an old hand. If it's a new hand, go ahead. Okay, Wado's hand.
That was an old hand, but I'm happy now with the change. Thank you.
Good, that's great. Okay, so we fine-tuned this. I'll ask folks to agree or disagree. You have your voting buttons where you can agree or disagree. If we can just get folks to actually set their status with this now, Calvin and I and folks are jumping right in. So if you can just note your agreement, it looks like we're getting agreement. Carlton is typing, so I'm assuming we're going to hear from him. Okay, and Wado, you've indicated your agreement in the chat. Okay, so it looks like we have consensus for this. I see no disagreement. So I think we can move on to Recommendation 4, and for your decisions reached, Jean-Baptiste, we can add Recommendation 3 to the list. Okay. So have we totally lost Drew?
It seems so, Lorraine. And Drew is sending me some input as well, and he has just shared text on recommendation 1 and 2. I'm just looking into what changes are there exactly. I will share that in the chat.
Okay. Okay. We now have the reason you can hear anything is I was waiting for Jean-Baptiste's comments in the chat. I wanted to make sure we all had the I wanted to make sure we all have this. So Jean-Baptiste, can you just walk us through this?
Yeah, just 1 second. You also sent an updated version. I'll just try to put that on screen. That might be easier for everyone.
Yeah, I think it would. So there's no way we can call into Drew. He's not. He doesn't have
a
phone.
Yeah, apparently a really poor connection.
Okay. Okay, so just so folks don't think that they've lost the audio, we're just taking a little pause here so that Jean-Baptiste can get this on the screen for us to look at. Yeah, I think it's very hard to consume such a lengthy statement in the chat. So let's see what we can get up on screen. And I'm wondering if it's possible just to, because I assume Jamie did a red line. I'm wondering if it's possible to Calvin. Yes, Jean-Baptiste is trying to get on screen. And Carlton, I'm going to ask you to save your comment regarding recommendation four just when we get to that. So I don't want to lose the comment you made. So I'm going to ask you to raise it when we're getting to recommendation four. Right now, what Jean-Baptiste is trying to do for us is to get Jamie's refinements of recommendations 1 and 2 on the screen.
Okay, so Drew asked to share the modified version of recommendation 1 and 2 with the group. So those are taking into account Jamie's slight modifications, and this is more in line with the multi-stakeholder model. So the beginning part of the text is new, that's what it says. So we would need consensus on that.
Is there a way for us to see the changes, Jean-Baptiste, or
that's the version sent, I'm afraid.
Okay. Okay.
I'm really sorry. You just sent it now, so.
Yeah. No.
I'm discovering just like you.
Yep. No, I'm not. Not blaming or finding fault. Just trying to.
No. I know. It's just I would like to for things to go a bit smoother on this call.
You are not alone. Okay. And is there a way for us to get this, is there a way to get the text any bigger, just so people can read it more easily?
Yeah.
Okay. And do we have I'm just trying to, you know, it's very hard to figure out where these changes are, so we don't have the email that that Jamie had sent with these changes, which I assume he's usually very good about doing red lines.
Let me have a look. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Are you in communication with Drew on the side?
I was, but I didn't receive anything for the last 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Okay.
So the last emails I have received from Jamie, which he sent to the review team as well, was on 21st of September. I can put that version on screen if you wish.
But is that the version we're talking about?
I think Drew based himself on this version to adapt the recommendations 1 and 2. So I have the red line document that Jamie sent to Drew, and I have the document that you just saw now from Drew, which was sent a few minutes ago, with new text for recommendation 1 and 2.
You know, I just think we have a lack of clarity here, and I'm a little...
Exactly, yeah, it would be much easier if...
I think we're going to have to hold off on this and communicate
yes.
with Drew after this meeting and send around what I understand are likely to be minor revisions to 1 and 2. And the procedure I'm going to propose is that we're going to assume consensus is still reached on these recommendations unless people respond to the group via email over the next 48 hours. I think we should deal, and I'm looking at Jordan's, I think we should deal with this type of edit across all recommendations later, before the final report, but not now. Agree with Jordan on the normalization of the recommendations. And with Lorene, I'm pushing this. Okay, so let's push this. The plan is we will send around an email with what I understand are minor revisions. If folks have concerns with that, they should respond to the group we're on Wednesday, so respond to the group by Friday. Otherwise, I'm assuming that these, we are maintaining our consensus on 1 and 2. Because I want people to be able to see the precise text that's being proposed, and I don't see the point of having a discussion about it when we're a little uncertain about what that is. So that said, I know you're all relieved, as Calvin is with the phew. With that said, let's go on to recommendation 4. Sorry for these hiccups. So maybe Jean-Baptiste, you can.
Yeah, I would share my screen again 1 second.
Okay, thank you. And again, I appreciate everyone's patience as we deal with various technical difficulties. Right, and Jonathan is pointing out recommendation 4 is the truly controversial one, the one that we've been spending time on. So let's move straight to that. That's going to be the best use of our time rather than fiddle-faddling with recommendations 1 and 2. Okay, my Adobe connection is temporarily lost, so I will not be able to see what's on the screen for a minute. So folks are going to have to bear with me unless Jonathan's connection is current.
You want me to read it out or something? Is that the...
Yeah, if your connection is current,
it does.
Okay.
For the time being, it seems to be good.
Okay.
You're back? Okay.
I'm back. Okay. So let me remind folks where we are with recommendation 4. We've had a lot of discussion. Now it's lost again. We've had I'll continue going on, but maybe you can deal with the reading just because I know not everyone's in the Adobe Connect. We've had a lot of discussion back and forth on this idea of an alternative dispute resolution mechanism that would be a complement to the existing procedures already in place to deal with abuse. David has championed this. And it's informed by his experiences with the alternative mechanisms in place regarding intellectual property rights disputes. So what I'd like to do is David's not here to answer questions. I think believe he's on a flight. What I'd like to get a sense of is whether we have comments about this rather than questions, comments about this to get a sense of whether we have consensus about this and how to move forward. So I'll open it up for comments. I think I'm going to have to refresh my Adobe Connect. So maybe, Jonathan, if you can, if you are...
Sure, I'll read it out. Jordan has put in the chat that he remains opposed on principle to Recommendation 4, so just to put that marker out there. But as it currently reads, a DNS abuse... Sorry, go ahead. Do you have more to say, Lorene?
Nope.
Okay. A DNS abuse dispute resolution policy, or DADRP, should be considered by the community to deal with registry operators and registrars that are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. Friends, to define, e.g., over 10% of their domain names are blacklisted domains. Such registries, now Windows wants to do an update. Such registry operators or registrars should, in the first instance, be required to A, explain to ICANN compliance why this is, B, commit to clean up that abuse within a certain period of time, and or adopt stricter registration policies within a certain period of time, failing which a DADRP can be brought should ICANN not take any action themselves. The rationales of DNS abuse study commissioned by CCRT identified extremely high rates of abuse associated with specific registries. It's important to have a mechanism to deal with this abuse, and in particular, if it is prevalent in certain registries, is missing. Abusive behavior needs to be eradicated from the DNS. The two is the ICANN board, registry stakeholders group, the registrar stakeholders group, the generic name supporting organization, the subsequent procedures PDP working group, and the SSR2 review team. Priority level is high. consensus as yet undetermined, but we know we don't have Jordan. ICANN compliance is one route to dealing with this high level of DNS abuse, enforcing existing and any amendments to register accreditation agreement to prevent systematic use of specific registrars for technical DNS abuse as per recommendation 2. However, in addition to a specific DADRP should be considered, as it could also be very helpful in dealing with such DNS abuse, but it could also serve as a significant deterrent to help prevent or minimize such high levels of DNS abuse. I can't scroll. Jean-Baptiste, if you can scroll, I can finish reading it. Registry operators or registrars that are identified as having excessive levels of abuse, to be defined, for example, where a registry operator is over 10% of their domain names blacklisted by one or more heterogeneous blacklists, Stop Adware, SDP, APWG, Spam House, Secure Domain Foundation, Serviel, and Cleanimix. A DADRP should be set out specific penalties. Examples from the DNS abuse study of Nuzi utilities with over 10% of their domain names blacklisted, according to Spam House, for example, are Science, Stream, Study, Download, Click, Top, GDN, Trade, Review, and Accountant. Thus, each of these registries will be obliged to review their second-level domain names being used for DNS abuse and explain why this is, commit to cleaning these up within a certain time frame, and adopt stricter registration policies if necessary, to ensure there exist relevant contractual terms to handle effectively with such registrations. If the domain names at issue are not cleaned up satisfactorily, and in the event ICANN does not take immediate action, then a DADRP may be brought by an affected party. The process should involve a written complaint to the registry, time allotted for a response from the registry, and an oral hearing. Final decisions should be issued by an expert panel, which could recommend one or more enforcement mechanisms to be agreed upon by the community. For purposes of this recommendation, a registrar acting under the control of a registry operator would be covered by the DADRP, so it is important to ensure that registry operators shall include entities directly or indirectly controlling, controlled by, or under common control of the registry operator, whether by ownership or control of voting securities, by contract or otherwise, where control means the possession, directly or indirectly, of the power to direct or cause the direction of the management, I think a lawyer wrote this, and policies of an entity, whether by ownership or control, voting securities, by contract or otherwise. But the gist of it is, if you have greater than 10%, and obviously that number is to be defined, of blacklisted domains, then you need to explain why that is, clean it up, adopt stricter registration policies, or suffer some penalty from contract compliance, and if they don't take action, then this DRDP could be brought into service, which would be a third-party review, which is what Jordan is opposed to on principle.
So thank you very much, Jonathan. That's the proposal on the table. And I know Jordan's hand is up, so I'm going to turn it over to him. And Carlton has questions about existing policy for tools to respond to DNS abuse, and certainly there are contract requirements that prohibit a range of DNS abuse. And I think your question two relates to the first, that yes, there are also remedies. I think the big question is whether they're sufficient, and David's perspective appears to be based on the DNS abuse study, is that no, they're not sufficient because the data shows from that study that there are still high concentrations of abuse in certain registrars and registries, and that if the system were working properly, you wouldn't see that. Therefore, he is proposing an adjunct mechanism to address that. With that, I will turn the talking orange, as we say in my house, the talking stick over to Jordan and then Calvin. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, thanks, Lorene.
You're very, very low.
I hate Adobe Connect.
She means faint. She's not making any kind of comment toward it.
Thanks for that clarification, Jonathan.
How about this? Any better?
Not really.
I don't understand. This microphone works fine on literally every application except for Adobe Connect. This is the worst system in the world. I can't. Let me try to connect my phone real quick. Calvin wants to go first.
Okay. Calvin, go ahead.
Jordan, can you go
Jordan
in and adjust your microphone volume? Sorry.
Okay. All right. So I'll just pipe in there while Jordan's trying to get his stuff organized. I've been grappling with this, and I went and looked at two things. I looked at the 2013 RAA, so it's a registry agreement. Registrar accreditation agreement, and I looked at the base registry agreement. And in terms of the registry agreement, there's nothing in that agreement whatsoever. I lie. There is something about having an abuse contact, but I couldn't find a positive obligation on a registry to act in the case of abuse. In terms of the registrar accreditation agreement, there is an obligation to do something there. And this is probably as it's designed to be, because the registry is supposed to have the registrars as clients and not the end users, and not get involved in that that thing. So I have an issue with this thing or this recommendation specifically when it comes to that, and again as to how this thing is going to be implemented. I know David's not around to defend it, but I see issues with that, and I'm not sure how to circumvent those things.
Okay, so you have some concerns, and is it? I just want to get a little more detailed a sense of your concerns, Calvin. Is it that some of this is focused on registry operators and not just registrars? I want to make sure I understand your concerns.
I have a concern of the whole thing. So the whole thing makes me quite uneasy. But then I try to break things down, and I noticed when I went over and looked at things, I noticed specifically that there is no provision in the registry agreement to go this route. The only thing in the registry agreement was really an obligation to have an abuse contact, so there's absolutely no way that I can enforce that on a registry as it currently stands. They have to go through the whole process of changing that registry agreement. That's virtually what we're saying as this is done. In terms of the registrars, there's section 3.18, the registrar's abuse contact and duty to investigate reports of abuse. So they actually have to, there's actually positive obligations on them to do stuff. Yeah, so again, this whole thing implemented in the current framework is going to be difficult as far as I can tell.
Okay. Thank you, Calvin. Carlton is pointing out, accurately, that he's pointing to Specification 11 in the registry agreement, which does impose obligations on the registries to conduct security checks and take appropriate actions to respond to DNS abuse issues. So there are actually some obligations, but I think you have some just general discomfort with this, is what I'm hearing, and also a recognition that this is a new procedure that's being suggested for discussion, and if it were actually going to be implemented, it would need to be done likely through changes to the existing standard contracts. So I think that's a fair summary. But Carlton is pointing out in the chat that there are anti-abuse obligations for registries as well as registrars in Spec 11. In fact, there have been a lot of procedures and discussions now by the registries to figure out what their obligations are to respond to abuse, and there's now a whole protocol that's been discussed regarding this issue. So Carlton is saying there's what we have basically is a failure to enforce, and I think that is exactly what is fueling David's recommendation. So that said, I still raise your discomfort with this. Did we get Jordan back? Do we have Jordan back now? Because it was, I believe, your turn.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, the phone works fine, just Adobe Connect app on the exact same mic. So, yay, technology. In any case, I think I have, three objections to this. The first is that the premise behind the recommendation, I think, is pretty flawed. In that, in recommendations number 2 and 3, we say, oh, there actually is no mechanism for ICANN to deal with systemic abuse. And then we turn around to this recommendation and say, hey, look, ICANN's not dealing with systemic abuse, therefore we need this alternative resolution policy to deal with the fact that ICANN is not doing it. So there's just like a fundamental tension between the notion of what we're recommending in recommendation 2 and to a certain extent 3, and with number 4. My second problem roughly mirrors what Calvin said, which is this basically takes a obligation that doesn't exist on registries today. There is some obligations in Spec 11, but they are about abuse reporting and responses to specific complaints, not about, you know, like the obligation on registrars are much more robust than on registries with regards to dealing with abuse, and that's appropriate because the registry doesn't have any relationship with the registrant. So if for example there's a lot of malware in a particular TLD, and I think what we see consistently in the DNS abuse report and other reporting is, for example, .com has the most malware distribution because it tends to be compromised domains. And on compromised domains, it's probably not the right thing to do to take the domain down because that prevents the owner from even being able to do anything about it. The registry can't really do anything. The registry doesn't even know who the registrant is in many cases because of proxy registrations or other information. The registrar is the only person or the only entity with a direct relationship with the registrar. And I got disconnected. Hello? Does anyone hear me?
I still hear you, Jordan.
Oh, okay. Did you hear that, Busy?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We still hear you, too, so you're not disconnected.
Okay. Awesome. So in any case, I think this sort of imagines that the registry is the right place to be dealing with this sort of abuse, even though the contractual framework and the reality of the situation make it clear that it's not, and so it's unclear why we would try to have a procedure that revolves around registries when it's a really ineffective place to try to deal with abuse. And then finally, I think, you know, this is just in general, the new language makes it really clear what this is. It says, first of all, you report this to ICANN, and if you don't like what ICANN does, then you file your own dispute resolution process instead. Because, you know, ICANN gets the information, they decide whether or not it's a contractual violation. If ICANN decides it's not a contractual violation and decides not to pursue action against the registry, then some other random third party gets to pursue their own course of action. And that's just super, I think, we could do this with any, it's not just DNS abuse, we could choose any part of the contract and say, you know, first of all, report it to ICANN, and if you don't like it, you know, we could do this with Whois, we could do this with, you know, we could do this with transfer policy. We could take any part of the contract and say, okay, first complain to ICANN, and if you don't like the results to ICANN, go ahead and have this third-party arbitration process to resolve it instead. And that's just fundamentally, like, undermines ICANN's role, and B, creates a huge amount of unpredictability for registrar operators, because they'll have basically two sets of rules. They first of all have to figure out what ICANN compliance expects them to do, and then they have to also figure out whatever, you know, random third parties are going to be annoyed by and potentially bring these actions. So I think we have really good recommendations in two, and I think to a lesser extent three, to like help ICANN deal with systematic abuse. We should let that happen. We should look for ways to make ICANN ICANN compliance be an effective enforcer of its contract and make sure the contract can address the issues, but we shouldn't give random third parties the right to bring enforcement actions themselves, because I think that undermines the credibility of ICANN and the contractual framework of the multi-stakeholder process.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan was quite eloquent and ardent about this, so I will let his words stand rather than trying to summarize them again. I will point out in the chat there's been a continuing discussion where Carlton has pointed out that there is a whole interlocking system of contractual obligations that run downstream from the registries, which require registrars to have provisions in their contracts that prohibit specified forms of DNS abuse, and then the ICANN compliance is there to ensure that this whole interlocking system of contracts, which flow from the registries to registrants, registrars then prohibit registrants from certain types of DNS abuse also, that there is this system in place, and it's an enforcement problem. I'm just trying to summarize what Carlton said for those not in the chat. Calvin, I don't know if that's an old hand or you had further remarks. It's down. Other questions and comments. I think it's fair to say that certainly both Calvin and Jordan have raised concerns here. Carlton, I can I just get a sense from you specifically? I know you've been talking about ways the existing problem is the existing contracts are not necessarily being rigorously enforced or sufficiently rigorously enforced. But are you in favor or opposed to this recommendation? Okay, Carlton is typing. I'm waiting for an answer from Carlton. The other thing that occurs to me is that the recommendation itself, separate and apart from the details, which are very specific, the recommendation itself is really a recommendation to have the community consider this as an idea. And in that regard, just, you know, separate and apart from, as I said, the details, which are very specific, In that regard, in my opinion, this is just me, it doesn't strike me as quite as controversial as it strikes Jordan, because to me this is just a recommendation that says consider having the community think about this and decide whether it's something that should be pursued, because it's in that regard it's not a really strenuous recommendation. It's a maybe we should give this some thought recommendation. Carlton is not opposed because it conveys a methodology to consider how to impose enforcement. Calvin's pointing out nothing stops the community from doing this anyway. Fair. Anyway, so other thoughts and comments. Certainly we have some strong opposition to this, and we have folks who are more comfortable with it. The other thing I'm wondering is if I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I should have raised my hand. I'm just saying it's possible that the specter of this recommendation will help clear the path for recommendations 2 and 3.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I think what this recommendation and recommendations 2 and 3 help to communicate is that there appears to be a systemic problem, and as Jordan puts it, a deficiency in our systems for handling these problems holistically. And I think that I believe Jordan is representative of the contracted party's response to this. And so I'm not sure that it is going to go particularly far beyond our recommendation, but it could be that the inclusion of it will help be an incentive to embrace the other two recommendations. I'm not sure, but I think that we need to probably take Jordan's concerns and assume that they are the concerns of the contracted parties that would be affected by this.
Well, given given the remarks, and again, I keep losing connectivity, so if you're raising your hand, I can't see you, and you'll need to intervene verbally. Given the remarks, I don't think we have consensus on this. I think what would be useful to figure out is if we were to include this, how we would characterize its inclusion. So I think what also would be helpful is to circulate this via email and ask people explicitly whether they oppose it or are in favor of it. We don't have the whole review team on this call, but I think it's important if this is included that we give a clear indication of whether the majority of the review team is in favor of it, but there were significant reservations by certain members, or whether this is a minority view. So that, to me, is the question we need to answer. For our prior discussions, and maybe this is a point of clarification, Jonathan, when we talked about consensus, it was almost entirely, I think everything else has had unanimous consensus. If we were to include this, I think it would be something less than that, clearly.
That's right. I mean, we didn't define consensus as unanimous at the outset, so we could suggest we had consensus, but we should definitely make clear, if we went forward with this, that we weren't unanimous on it, for sure.
Then what I would suggest is, what I would suggest as an action item is, in this email that's being sent with recommendations 1 and 2, to include recommendation 4 and ask people formally, and again, I keep getting disconnected from the Adobe chat. It's to circulate this and ask people to signify by email whether they support this recommendation or not, so that we know how to characterize it. I'm open to other thoughts on how to handle this, but that's how it strikes me. And I'm totally out of Adobe Connect now, so if anyone wants to respond, it needs to be verbally. I can't see the chat because I'm in the in-between place in Adobe Connect. I have a black screen. Jonathan, did you have any other thoughts about the best way to proceed here?
That sounds right to me. It's tough that when we have David, we don't have Jordan, and when we have Jordan, we don't have David. To participate in this conversation. I think Jordan raises a very interesting point about registries, and it may be that we need to try to orient this more toward registrars. But I think we've got to put this to the team for consensus, and I think Jordan has acknowledged that as well, and knows that it might happen despite his objections, but we just need to make sure we document them and explain his objections.
Okay. What we'll do as an action item is send this recommendation around and ask people to respond, whether they are in favor or against this, so that this can be put into proper context in the next version of the draft report. That leaves you with some time, Jordan, to discuss the parking paper.
Sure. I don't think we've had any revisions or discussion about the parking paper, so I don't know what there is to talk about. I think we had a brief discussion on a leadership call on Monday about updating data in general, which we'll, I think, also do as part of the parking paper, but I think we'll do that as a data revision pass coming up, just to bring probably some footnotes in to let people know that when there's been revisions to data that's not currently reflected in the sort of final state of the report. But we're probably going to stick with the December 2016 data as a baseline, because that way we can make direct comparisons between data sets throughout the report.
Right, that makes sense. Yes, I mean, as I recall, we had reached consensus on the parking paper already, and this is just whether there's going to be any additional data added. Is that fair to say? or are we, or am I hearing?
That's right, an update to the data.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we may have some, like, footnotes here and there just with saying, like, this number has changed since, but I think it makes sense to actually do that as we're preparing the final report, so it's the most recent data instead of trying to do little incremental bits along the way.
Then is it ready to go, or are there still adjustments?
I think it's ready to go, unless people have thoughts that they haven't voiced up until this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of loath to reopen things we've already gotten consensus on. So this is just more of an update.
That's right.
And I believe from David's last email, just to inform folks, he is also he has not received additional input on the text of the INTA paper, but there is some additional data that he is going to be putting on it in it. So and that's his high priority. But in terms of the text, I don't think there are any changes for that. He's going to incorporate the comments he received from WADO. And add some references. These are just ticky-tacky things. Just add some source references and make sure the statistics and cross references with the WIPO information is also up to date. So he has some additional things to do, none of which should impact the substance of that. So I think that is where we are with the new material for the draft report. Does anyone else have any questions or concerns about the papers we discussed today that they haven't said already? Then I'll turn it back to you, Jonathan, for any other business or any other issues that you want to discuss.
Thanks, Irene. Does anyone have any additional issues they want to discuss? We're going to circulate this recommendation for consensus. We're going to circulate papers for comment by Friday, so please watch your emails to make sure that you see them and comment on them, or forever hold your peace, as they say at weddings. All right. WADO.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I just want to get it right about this recommendation 4. What's the way forward? Are we agreed that recommendation 4 will be there, and now we're just looking for final version, or is it still out in the open whether it will be there or not?
It's still out in the open. Thank you for your question, WADO.
I can see from the action. I can see it. Yeah. Yeah.
WADO, can you shut your microphone? There we go.
Okay.
Thanks, WADO, for the question.
All right.
It's still open. We're going to circulate it to get people to vote, since we don't have a full group of people on the call, to see whether or not we have a majority of people that want to include it. So that's the very next step that will happen very shortly, is some kind of online voting by the team. Since this is really the first recommendation on which there's been kind of stark disagreement. So we're going to conduct a poll, and that will determine whether we go forward with it. And if we do go forward with it, I think we're acknowledging up front that we'll have to, you know, detail the objections that were raised.
Okay. And, you know, since we do have a little time left, Calvin, I know you had raised some questions regarding the recommendation on who is and accuracy. Do you maybe want to just briefly discuss that to the group? Because you probably can get some input now on the call.
Yeah, so let me just pull it up. I wasn't expecting to do that, but I think the interesting thing that I had was one of the was the objection by the non-commercial stakeholders group who kind of said that the recommendation 17 and 18, which is closely related, was outside the scope of our review team. So, you know, personally, I looked at it and I could probably go either way. So I vacillate between saying yes and no. And I was trying to get a feel from other people what they think about this. I'm interested in hearing ideas from other people on the team and whether they think they agree or disagree and why.
So just to put this in context, our recommendation 17 was to gather data to assess whether a significant percentage of WHOIS-related complaints relate to the accuracy of the identity of the registrants, differences in behavior between new and legacy GTLDs. The part that Calvin and the non-commercial stakeholders group is focusing on is just the last sentence, which is ICANN should also identify other potential sources of WHOIS complaints, registrars, registries, ISPs, et cetera, and attempt to obtain anonymized data from these sources. Although there's a comment that this is beyond the scope of the review team, I don't think that's accurate at all. Some of the safeguards in the contract specifically dealt with WHOIS, so it's squarely within our remit. That's my response to the comment. Also, this is a ICANN should attempt. There is no contractual obligation to supply this data, and just as we've seen, it may be that these other sources are not inclined to give it. That this is just a should attempt. My view is that this doesn't require changing, but we acknowledge that these attempts may not bear fruit. But still, it's a way to identify other potential sources of data, and it's not restrictive. It's just by way of example. These may be places, but there would be other places they could look as well. In fact, they're already doing that with their data gathering initiatives.
Okay, so let me just I agree on the second, but that's just that kind of goes to Iken's objection. I see Colton and yourself are both saying that you believe it's fairly within our remit. And Colton says because it's directly referenced in the safeguards.
Right. If anyone has views on that, you can get them to Calvin. I'm not convinced that this needs to be changed. I think we just need to be realistic in how we think and how we think this may be carried out. Maybe one minor change would be to make sure that we have an including but not limited to in that and that recommendation 17, so that it's clear that we are not contemplating that these would be the only sources, i.e. registrars and registries, et cetera, that could be the source of these complaints. Any other thoughts? So, Jonathan, I'll turn it back to you, the plenary call.
That's all right. Thanks, Lorraine. Thanks for leading that conversation, and I think we're done for the day. So thanks, everyone, for your participation.
Thanks, everyone, for their patience with our technical difficulties as we're entering the final round.
That too.